I'm off. We're off. Like, someone is doing poo, someone is doing pee, but whatever. We try.
Oh.
That was still great. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was all right.
We were kind of harmonizing.
Hey, it's your boys. Oh.
The boyfriends.
Fantasy boys in harmony.
Boyfriends are back in town.
Boyfriends are back in town, everybody. How y'all doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
We had a couple of week layoff here. We had some things to take care of, but we're back with a vengeance.
Your dad all right?
Yeah, my dad's good. My dad had a triple bypass.
That's a lot of bypasses.
It came out of nowhere. He was just kind of having a little bit of chest pain. And
a lot
because
of
he's
penises, you go, no, 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 I'm not bi. Three times.
Bypass.
Some people are bi-curious.
I'm a bypass guy myself. Yeah.
My dad would have drowned those dicks.
Well, it's good to hear that the Rocky River Strangler is or drowner.
The drowner.
Yeah, the drowner, yeah.
He is recovering. He's at home. I mean, he's got a lot of shit in his chest. He has to cough up, and that hurts like a motherfucker. But other than that, not really sleeping well, he's doing good.
I'd imagine. Yeah, they got to split your chest open to do that, right?
Oh, it's a big old scar.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad had the blood clots earlier this year and, like, had a, like, aneurysm basically and like passed out, and he's doing all right now, but yeah, that's some scary shit
for
like,
sure
that's,
absolutely
yeah, getting old
yeah, we're getting old.
He's 60 years old and he like is 165 pounds. He's not like a big guy. His diet's so clean because he has celiac. So he pretty much eats baked chicken and salad with no dressing and eggs. Like some popcorn, like
still a triple bypass, like that's wow.
But his father had a triple bypass at 60 as well.
So it's just like you just are going to have
apparently
at 60. You're
apparently
have
my grandpa smoked 2 packs of Marlboro Reds and drank like at least a half a case of Budweiser every day.
I love the grizzled old guy like that fucking just refuses to die.
He kept doing all of that after the his quadruple bypass.
That's insane.
And lived for 18 years.
That's good for him.
Yeah.
That's like good. That's then he didn't have to change anything and he got 78. That's an all right
that's
age
a
to
good
live till.
Looking like
I'm hoping for something around that. I mean, depending on what kind of degenerative brain disorder I get, because I got two grandparents that had them, so I got a, 50-50 shot there, I guess.
Yeah, we're looking at Alzheimer's over here.
Yeah. Something around that.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to talk about this, but your experience with the thing you told us about.
You get punched in the chest, that one?
That one?
No, the DMT.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know if you want to talk about drug use on the... I don't know if you're going to... The DMT thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Right. The thing,
enough.
Yeah, okay.
All right, but tell me why you got punched in the chest by a lady.
Let's just say I've done it in the past. It was too much. I've done it a couple times now. And the first time was lovely. Yeah. It was fantastic. And I fully recall it, and it very vividly. And I had always heard that you don't remember it afterwards. And I was very surprised that I remembered everything perfectly. And then the second time that I did it, I smoked it off of like a dabs rig. Fucking blowtorch to this nail.
Yeah.
And then we just like poured all of the little pebbles onto the nail, and it immediately vaporized, and it was one big ass rip. I held it in, and then I was just like, "Whoa!"
Then you went to a different dimension.
Melted into the bed, and honestly, I don't really remember much. I remember being pretty terrified. I remember at one point defensively grabbing my balls to protect my junk. I don't know why,
but you did it.
I really don't, but I did it.
And they were safe though.
Yeah.
You met some creatures?
I don't think I met any creatures. I just remember being like while while in the midst of things, I do remember thinking like, I should get rid of the rest of it that I have. I should get rid of it.
That's not something I need anymore.
There, I read.
That's how I feel when I eat too many pizza rolls. I get rid of these things. I in my house.
Bill's eating a bunch of pizza rolls on his chest, and they're playing like White Rabbit. One pill makes you larger. Yeah. I love pizza. That was
incredible.
I'm afraid. I'm afraid of that one, man. I don't think I could do that.
You're going to do something, though.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, probably.
Ten minutes. You can fucking do it for 10 minutes. Learn some shit about yourself.
I'm apartment hunting right now, and I'm at a point where I am willing to get a really nice place and have it be basically half of my monthly income.
Yeah.
But have a place that's really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Pat.
Like, it would be like a 2-bedroom, like top, like not penthouse, but like 10th or like 9th floor of a, like overlooking the lake.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's cool.
With a balcony and shit. And like, I'm just trying to like justify, okay, so that's basically all I get to do is stay there and sleep in there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get the, I'm not going to have cable. I'll barely have internet, but I'll have an incredible view. And then they also have like party rooms, which I would love to do like secret shows there
where everybody
shows up and like we rent it out for like $200 and everybody throws in a few bucks and we just do these private comedy shows.
Fuck yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Whereabouts is this place?
Gold Coast.
What is that?
That's like Lake. Lakewood, Edgewater.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like in Wayne's World. Babes are, it's a babe palace.
Yeah.
They're defenseless against its all of its powers.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of place. And one of the ways that I'm thinking about doing it is by having a roommate. And the only roommate right now that wants to be roommates with me would be Mary Santora. And I think that would be a lot of fun in a lot of ways. But then there's parts of Mary's irresponsibility that makes me very nervous about it.
Yeah.
But I could, that's the thing. It's like, I could, like, that would supplement it. But I could afford it either way.
Sure, sure. No, that'd be fucking dope.
Yeah, there's no way I would move out of my place.
Well, you live.
I live with my parents right now, and it's going good.
See, if my parents, I'm staying with my parents because I just broke up with Coco. And it's in Medina. And it's just too far.
Yeah, like, Medina sucks.
So fucking much. I lose my mind.
You should do that Uber thing. The $400 flat rate Uber per month.
Yeah, but then that still has like a miles limit on it.
Does it?
Yeah,
does it?
That. Well, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
My one buddy took a fucking Uber from Cleveland to Chicago.
Was that like $10,000?
It was like $785 or something like that.
Why? That a plane ticket.
So
is...
he could work while driving, I guess. I don't know. It was like a spur of the moment. He is like he's the guy that took me to the Tribe game, the World Series game.
Okay.
The Chicago guy, and he's got some different dealings that aren't seemingly on the up and up. And I know he from ticket brokering. That's like why he came. Well, I mean, he's a big Cubs fan, but like. He came here to make a bunch of money. I think he walked away from the World Series after moving these tickets around, buying and selling about $30,000 up.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Wish I had that kind of sense.
Me too.
I'm like really happy that Bitcoin's finally back to even. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not losing money right now. And then I have to be like, stop myself from like, okay, if I just hang on to it, it's going to be okay in like a few years. But right now I'm like, but I'm back to even. So maybe I should just get out now.
Yeah.
I'm too impatient.
I think I still haven't put any money into it.
It's really easy to buy with, there's apps called like Coinbase, and then there's just a Cash app for like Square. Where it's kind of like a Venmo app. You just buy it on there. And so I bought it. And I
think
I don't
the next time it tanks, I'm going to buy some.
Yeah.
Because it will tank again.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's real volatile. So like next time I'd say it goes under like 7,000, grab some then. And then by the end of the year, they're predicting it'll be back up to, it's like all time high. And then over the next 5 years, it's going to go to like 40 or 50,000 per Bitcoin. So it's worth, because then it's going to flatten out. Like once it gets to that, then it's just going to be like, bam. And that's because, and I know this because I read one article earlier today. And I didn't read it all.
That's all predicated too on if the economy doesn't fucking take a giant dump again like it should.
That's the thing is like Bitcoin's one of those things that. Sometimes when economies take a shit, it goes up.
Yeah.
But it's still just so volatile that it doesn't it doesn't play by the rules of America. It's more worldwide.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for that shit. Man. Like the whole reason why like unemployment is down and all that shit, they're just like fudging the numbers. Like it's the same.
And they're not. It's not like people are getting careers. They're just
working. Wages aren't going. Yeah, wages aren't going up.
And yeah, it's like the poverty level is still the same. Like it's still
higher. Probably.
I'm telling you, I work for a home remodeling company, and like I'll see, like every time you set an appointment for these people to have one of our salespeople go out to their house, you have to post all this information about like what you had talked about, and then you have to post what their home value is off of Zillow.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking at like home values from like less than a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're like in nice areas. Yeah. They're up like $15,000 in some places.
Yeah. I told you
a huge jump.
We tried
not a lot of time.
We tried to buy that house last year, and like the deal fell through or whatever. But like we're in this pool still where it caps it at what we can afford, what they'll mm-hmm. loan us or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot buy a house in Lakewood for under $160,000.
Yeah, I believe that.
And like last year we were going to get a duplex for like 150. It was appraised at like 140, which mm-hmm. is why we couldn't get it, because the owner didn't have to sell it, and mm-hmm. I didn't have 10,000 extra bucks out of my pocket to fucking.
Right. Yeah, that's, I mean, the place that like my sister got in like right before everything bounced like real high, and she got a real nice deal on her place. And now, and then there's this place that I was living in Mars. If I would have pulled the trigger on that, like if I knew what was going to happen in Lakewood, I'd probably be up like $60,000 or $70,000.
Yeah, it's insane.
It was so low then.
It's absolutely insane. Boy, nothing, you know, like house prices will stay the same forever, right? They'll always keep going up. Where have I heard that one before?
Exactly. And then,
in bad areas, the prices are tanking. They're down significantly.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. You can get it. We could probably throw the change in our pocket and go buy a house in a bad area.
That's true. In West Park, it's fucking the same thing, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, that's fucking Cleveland. Like,
yeah, because that's where people want to live in a close-by suburb. And that's another thing, because of the urban spread, people want to be closer.
Right.
Or the urban sprawl. The baby boomers, they all want to go out to the fucking suburbs, like be, you know, 30 miles away from downtown. But Generation X and millennials are like, no, we want to be by the
sure.
city. Like, so there's a lot more demand for that.
Man, we went to watch the game 6 the Cavs got blown out at West Park Station,
mm-hmm.
Polk and Hot Carl and a couple other people. And man, is that a fucking, like, Cam's Corner is a fucking punch palace just for fucking, like, angry white dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what that place is. That's what West Park is. Yeah. It's a bunch of very aggressive, like, cops and you know, former military. And
there was, like, a
Ed's
sign.
Dudes, St. Ed's dudes.
Oh, yeah. There was, like, a sign in the bar that just had, like, an outline of Ireland and Italy, and it said, "The streets of West Park." I was like, boy, you're really giving it away there.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you were supposed to hide this shit.
Hey, man, I go to bars and I get high. I don't want
to
run with any of that.
Morrow,
I stay away from West Park.
Morrow was just, like, going to the bathroom, and he, like, bumped into somebody. He's like, "Ah, sorry." And he's like, "Hey, what the fuck, man?" He's like, "No, I'm just walking to the bathroom." Like, yes. It's like, Jesus, man. Yeah, fuck West Park.
A lot of testosterone in there. Insecurity, too.
With the gabagoo!
So why'd you get punched in the chest by a lady?
So, like, after the show, I bring Tom Green off the show. First of all, first show last night, first time in my 5+ years of working at Hilarities that I tripped going up the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then the second show, like, in the front row, this girl and her friends, like, stand up and start talking to me, like a bunch of dude friends, and like she looked familiar. I kind of remembered her, but she wanted me to do like the pony, the mm-hmm. drug test story, and I didn't do it that show. And I guess last time she saw me, she came up and was like, "You should have done the pony thing." I was like, "Well, next time you come to a show, come tell me. I'll do the show. I'll do, like, the bit." And so apparently I saw her before the show. I don't remember seeing her in the hallway before the show. I, like, walked past her.
Sure.
And, like, after the show, like, she waits for me with all these dudes. One of them, I'm pretty sure, is her boyfriend. And she's like, "I didn't even recognize you. You lost a bunch of weight." And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, but, like, I didn't know, and you, like, you didn't tell me." And she's like, "Yeah, but, like, we saw each other. Like, you should have known." And I was like, "I didn't recognize you or even remember seeing you before." And she hauled off and punched me in the fucking chest.
Really?
Like, hard, yeah.
Damn.
What'd you do?
I was like, what the fuck? And then her boyfriend, like, grabbed her and was, like, getting mad at her, thinking she was flirting with me. And she kind of was.
Yeah.
But I was just like, "Okay, I'm going to go."
Oh, yeah.
And then I left.
There's nothing... a white girl that's like so fucking entitled about shit.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
nothing
you
worse.
You fucking child, you know, you get to punch
exactly.
people.
Those are the ones that are the worst for comedy shows. No one's more likely to heckle and be shitty at a comedy show than like the entitled white girl.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, oh, I was just playing along. Like I was just mm-hmm. like
it's a comedy yeah, show. It's yeah. a. I hate hearing that. Oh, I'm sorry. For laughing at a comedy show, you weren't
you
laughing
were,
at a comedy. Everything.
You're being very obnoxious.
You're being a piece of fucking shit. I hate you.
I mm-hmm. I did a couple of shows in Columbus this week, and I did.
Did you do that outdoor one on Tuesday?
It was great.
That one looked great.
Yes, it was very very fun. Thank you, Amber Falter, for having me on that show. And,
is she
fun? Yes, she's great.
Very, she's cute.
Yeah, yeah, she's great, and. I did an open mic there, too, and it was, like, bizarro LVT. It was really fucking weird. But, like, at that show, everybody did really well, except the one joke that I tell is the Boston cream pie thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. a lesbian couple did not appreciate the irony in the joke of saying, like, a queer. You know?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, ah, it's pretty. So, like, I kept doing it. I was like, I'm trying to hold up a Mia to the fucking. I don't know why I'm sounding like Boss or yeah. Arnold right now. But I was like, oh, that's a fucking. I felt a little punched in the gut. And I was like, oh, I'm trying to point out the hypocrisy in it, ladies. Like, don't,
yeah, but that's
don't
the thing.
Get
they
mad at
so
me.
Goddamn serious. Then they're like, there's no way to make jokes about that. No, there is. No. You just got to calm down. You gotta let some people say some things. It's all right.
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, Columbus is great. I'm a big fan. You're going to Whiskey Bear, right?
No.
Oh no,
okay. I am.
Or you are.
I'll be at Whiskey Bear, and I'm doing Rock on the Range this year.
When is that? The
same weekend. What?
I'm Helly Jelly of your Rock on the
yeah,
Range.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's
about
the end of the month, right?
Second to it's like 2 weeks from this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mara was telling me that
he's sleeping on my couch
in my
hotel room.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He needs a place to crash. And he's like, I'm going to try and find a place that's closer. And I'm like, all right, good luck. And then he's like, a week later, he's like, hey, you still got that couch open? I'm like, yes, yes, I do.
Well, yeah, I don't know why they're
who
having
the comedy headliners this year.
Who is it? Big J, he's going to be doing on.
That's a good one.
I can't. The liberal redneck, Trey Crowder.
He's oh, the wrestler? Big.
No, is he?
I have no idea who that is.
Oh no, I'm thinking of.
I know who you're talking about too. Like, but he's, yeah, Trey Crowder. He's got like a pretty big viral following on stuff. So, but I don't think that's a very, I mean, that's not a crowd that wants to hear political jokes. So
sure,
I hope he's got some other stuff.
Yeah,
and then Jameson and Florentine will still be down there. Okay. I can't remember who else, but it's good lineup.
Yeah, I was looking at it. There's a lot of good comics on there. Dave Leon is going to be on there, I think.
Is he?
I think so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I like Dave Leon a lot. Mm-hmm. He's a big weirdo.
Oh, he's on the Whiskey Bear.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Rock on the Ranch.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Rock on the Ranch.
I see
too.
What you're saying. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I'll be at.
I would love to see
I'll
Dave
be
Leon.
Co-headlining the. Co-headlining the Funny Stop next
Mary.
Week.
Yeah,
with Mary, right?
Yeah, I'm going to stop down one of those.
Can I come on the show for that this week?
Yeah, just hit
perfect.
Hit up Alan.
I will.
That'd be good.
And then the week after that, I will be opening for Orny Adams at Hilarity.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. You got a lot of weeks at that place.
This was, I hadn't been there.
By
like
request of his family. That's one of Chip Ryan's jokes. He says that line.
I had to skip out because of the stuff with my dad, and I had been there for a couple months before that. And then, unfortunately, Tim Cornette's father passed away.
Yeah,
yeah, I've heard that.
His dog passed away a couple weeks ago.
I know.
Kind of poor dude. Yeah. But I stepped in for Tim Cornette.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I saw Aladdin last night. You guys go to musicals?
I can't say that I've ever been to a musical.
I've been to them, but I don't like them.
You got to go to the right ones. Like, I've been to three musicals.
Book of Mormon.
It
would have been better if you said, no, I lived it.
Well, that end, yeah. But that was the best one I've ever seen.
Rent?
The Wizard of Oz one. Wicked, which that one's the lowest ranked of the three that I've seen as an adult. Like, I saw Phantom of the Opera when I was, like, 11, and I don't remember it.
Who'd have ever think that Bill was into the musical theater? I wouldn't.
I just... But
look at his hair.
Aladdin. I saw Aladdin last night, and Aladdin was great, but it was a little uneven because there's some songs that are so good, and it doesn't have the same, like, build up as, like, the movie, where it's, like, Jafar turns into a snake, and, like, shit gets scary in the in the movie, and I was 8. So when it happens in, like, the play, it's, like, it just, like, it ends pretty abruptly, like, they get through that part of the thing, but the live performance of You Never Had a Friend Like Me was fucking incredible. Like, the set and stuff like that, I don't even know the right words for it, but, like, it was fancy and it was cool. And,
oh, it was, like, indeed fancy.
I was very impressed with that.
Hella fancy.
Yeah. It was fancy AF, and I was really, really impressed by that. And then last week,
how good was Jasmine? Was she good looking?
Oh, and that's the thing too. There's a lot of tits in this one.
Wait, there's actually tits?
I mean, there's not actually tits, but, like, as far, like, for a Disney thing, like, you see a lot of cleavage, and there's always the possibility of a slippage.
A nip slip.
And there's, I mean, just hard dancer bodies with great cleavage. So I was into it.
Hard dancer bodies and hard build dicks.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of shirtless dudes that are running around.
Nice.
Like, yeah,
even
it's
harder,
like,
build dicks.
Yeah, like, I wasn't bypassing. but it was cool. I like the showmanship of it. And I think I enjoy that so much because I know what it takes to, like, do a live performance now, and, like, what goes into it, and the energy and the crowd. Like literally, I had goosebumps after they did the one song, and I was like, well, this is kind of embarrassing. But it's also pretty cool, so I'll take it. And they're free because, you know.
Yeah, because you're
and that
famous.
Makes it, and they gave us food and drinks beforehand. So
what?
Oh, even better.
It's like an amazing night at the theater with great seats. And
did you just fucking go to town on that food just to prove a point?
I did my fair share, but I've been eating healthier this week, so I didn't go too crazy. And then I had, like, 4 glasses of wine. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
A nice spritzer?
Just, you know, some red wine, so my teeth look like I was a zombie. I just look like a real housewife that was just about to get kicked off the show. Like, oh, you can't have her on anymore. She drinks that red wine. She just says weird stuff. Vaguely racist. Can't have her anymore.
She's always aroused by the hard bodies.
So, yeah. And then last weekend I went to the Air Force Museum in Dayton. That place is fucking awesome.
I've never been. I used to date a girl that went to the University of Dayton, and the University of Dayton sucks, and this girl sucks, too.
Wright State's a good, better, that's the better university down there.
Yeah, well, it's Dayton's like a Catholic university.
Really?
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
I went to a Catholic university.
Is it Erie Catholic? Sucked. Really? Oh, yeah.
Well, Mercier's.
Oh, yeah. Well, did they make you go to mass and shit like that?
I didn't have to go to any mass, but I did have to take a religion class.
I remember this girl.
Buddhism.
I dated this girl in my senior year of high school. So, like, in, like, the summer. So, like, I was still kind of dating her, like, in the fall during college or whatever. So I went down there. And we got super shitty drunk. And then on Saturday, and then on Sunday, she's like, oh, it's time to go to mass. I was like, I'm not going to fucking mass. Like, what the fuck? Like, I don't give a shit about this. I'm not Catholic. And she made a big deal about it. So then I got drugged to mass, like, hungover as fuck. And before I went, I just took another couple shots of vodka. So I was fucking lit up in the fucking church. Just try to fucking get it. But yeah, she didn't last much longer after that. The R man cannot tolerate religious tolerance.
What did you guys think of the Cavs so far? And, like, the last, I think the last time we podcasted.
Oh, yeah, it was doom and gloom.
Like, yeah, it was, they hadn't even won game 7 yet, and now they look like the best team in the East.
I don't know if we have done a podcast since they were in the playoffs, have we?
No, we have.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all, like, we did some while they were playing the Pacers.
Actually, it was the first game of the series. This was the last one we did, because that was only 2 weeks ago. We've been off for 2 weeks. Yeah, I mean, like, I was so depressed after that game 6 blowout. Like, I was genuinely, like, emotive about it. Because, like, the day of, I had been watching LeBron highlights. Mm-hmm. And it, like, actually got me choked up in some of them. It's like, because I remember where I was when that happened. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they're, like, formative, like, moments in my fucking life. And now I had to watch game 1, like, on my phone because, like, that show didn't have a TV yet or whatever.
Oh, I've been doing that quite a bit lately. Yeah.
But it froze, like, on Fred Van Vliet's last shot or whatever, so I didn't know what happened, so I fucking lost my mind.
That was amazing, that first game where they just, like, they hung in there. They just kept hanging in there. They would not go away, and they go down by 10, they go down by 12, and they bring it back to about 4. And then it was, like, the end of the game, like, Toronto's just got no answers. And, it, like, it was Valanciunas with, like, what, 4 shots right out of the basket?
They missed their last 11 shots.
They and that's great because that just shows that LeBron really is in their head.
Absolutely.
Like, they feel like they are trying to prove something, and they can't do it.
People are really giving Ty Lue a lot of credit for this series so far.
He had rotations.
Good for him. It's about time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, again, that matchup against the Pacers was a lot harder. I think matchup-wise,
yeah. I think the Pacers are a better all-around team, and that's what's going to be hard for the Cavs.
Harder nose as far as defense goes. Yeah. They don't have as much talent on the team.
Right.
And they're not as deep. Like, Toronto's got a lot going for them. We match up super well with what they have going on. Yeah. Like, they're just more or less a much poorer version of us with the way that they play the game. Hmm. And what's his name?
We just got to stay on the gas, though.
Who's the coach of the
Dwayne Casey.
Yeah. Dwayne Casey. Yeah, who always Dwayne Casey always looks like he's about to tell a buddy cop duo to turn in their badge and gun.
That's a great joke. That's a great joke. Yeah.
That went low-key, like, Cleveland viral, and not one follower. Not one new follower. Yep.
How many tweets or retweets and likes did you get?
Like 100 or something like that. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah, people don't follow.
No, not at all.
Cleveland people, you got to step up your fandom.
Yeah, exactly. Make
us famous.
We're giving you this content weekly, you know,
for
get free.
Bill the fuck pad and then fuck Bill.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All these dudes that listen.
I'm sure there's a bunch of fucking dudes.
I stand by what I said.
here's a great tweet that I retweeted by Steven_LeBron. Favorite LeBron versus Raptors moments, 2016. I've been in a lot of stressful situations. This isn't one of them after the Raptors won 2 at home. 2017, alley-oop off the backboard 3 minutes into game one, effectively ending the series. And 2018, spent an entire quarter practicing fadeaways.
Yeah.
Which was...
That fadeaway is insane.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, and that's the thing, too, is in game one, he was just... Like, that was online. Like, that...
Yeah.
That was gonna go in if it had a little bit more on it. That was so close to going in.
Yeah.
And that would have made him legendary, like, beyond anything if he would have closed that game with that shot.
Yeah.
That'd have been awesome.
Yeah.
But that being said, I hope that everybody in the world says this series over, so I hope they don't, like, take their foot off the gas.
Right, that's
they gotta fucking blow them out.
I want the sweep.
I want the sweep.
Me too.
Especially because me and Mary Santora will be at the Funny Stop next weekend.
Yeah,
I'd much rather there not be a game going on that Friday.
I gotta do a fucking 2 shows tonight and fucking.
Where are you at tonight?
Akron for Chad's show.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah, I bailed on that because I'm hanging out with my kids. I'm taking them to Dave and Buster's.
Oh yeah.
All right.
And then I got to do the roast show tonight, too. Which
I will be at Hilarities with Tom Green for 2 shows.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be being a dad.
Happy 4th anniversary to Wes Welker rolling his balls off at the Kentucky Derby and handing out $100 bills.
did we get a winner yet?
I don't know. I don't give a shit. I'm just happy. I forgot it was today so I could tell that fucking O.J. Simpson joke tonight.
I think that, back to basketball real quick, that Boston, I'm really...
They're good.
Number one,
Scary Terry.
Can we
please revisit my comments at the beginning of this season where I was called a homer and yelled at for Kyrie Irving and me saying he was overrated for a couple reasons. Number one, he is fragile as fuck, and look at him now. He's not even on the fucking court. Number two, I had said that it was a Brad Stevens team that played good defense and had hit on a couple lottery picks. Look what's happening now.
Yeah.
Suck every inch of my wiener and balls.
All right.
Because that is what's happening right now, and I would not like to face them because I feel like they are more or less like kind of like a Pacers, but with
more
kind of a different
athleticism.
Spread out talent. It's not as much Oladipo and then a couple good players. It's a couple good
players.
Yeah,
like anyone could, like, you could have Rozier go off one night. You could have, there's like 3 guys that could have big nights.
Mm-hmm. And while,
You're going to get steadiness from
while
Horford.
Ty Lue is coaching circles around Casey, I think Stevens could coach circles around Ty Lue. So.
Probably. I'd still rather play them than Philadelphia. Philadelphia still scares me. They're like the only team that...
Look at them down 2-0. They're young. And like I have a feeling that in the face of a determined LeBron James, that they're going to fold.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Boston has a little more of an edge to them, though. Philly talks more, but Philly's like a lot of talent, and they're relying on that talent. Boston is not as talented.
But Boston did go to 7 games with the Bucks, and the Bucks aren't good.
The Bucks should be a lot better than they are.
Yeah. The Bucks probably have the second best player in the playoffs on the East, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say.
Eric Bledsoe, I know.
Drew's cousin.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. The Terry Rozier, where he was wearing the Drew Bledsoe jersey.
Yeah, that's funny as fuck. Yeah. I like that level of trolling.
Yeah, he's from here, Terry Rozier.
Is he?
He's from Shaker Heights.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
He's good. He's really good.
He's really good. Scary Terry.
Scary Terry. Great nickname, too. Yeah.
I don't know. They still don't have Jaylen Brown either, which is kind
of... he's back.
Oh, is he?
He's back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played in the last game. I think he came off the bench. All right, we haven't talked about the draft yet either.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I was just thinking that myself.
Yeah.
Brian, why don't you...
I was upset.
Yeah. You're
upset.
The...
Both of you are upset.
I'm not upset.
I was upset.
I have never, like...
But I was also...
Baker Mayfield, for me, was always, like, that made sense to me. And
I was watching Infinity War when the... So like
still
I was going,
haven't seen it.
So I was going through a lot of emotions, and then when I saw the picks that they made, and they weren't what I was hoping for, I was just like, and then this, and then this. So
I've convinced myself to like it now at this point. But the only thing I didn't like, I like Baker Mayfield. I wanted Baker Mayfield, but I don't understand why you got Tyrod Taylor then. You know what I mean? Just fucking. Start or
because at first you weren't sure that Baker Mayfield was going to be the pick, and you weren't sure that he was going to be the guy. It was still pretty early in the evaluation process. They hadn't really done pro days, they hadn't really done personal visits, they didn't really know who their guy was, and he went with an Alex Smith type that's not going to turn the ball over much and has a proven track record. So Tyrod Taylor absolutely makes sense to me, but like taking a guy that is a project as opposed to a guy that's more NFL ready. Just because you have Tyrod Taylor makes absolutely no sense to me. I think they're still going to sit Baker Mayfield, and then it's open season next year, open QB competition, and I'm fine with that. But, like, look at all the other guys. There's no real, other than him not being tall enough to fit the prototype.
Okay, let's run down the positives and the negatives of Baker Mayfield. The positives are he's incredibly accurate, the most accurate in the draft.
Like, every single metric that they had, every advanced metric.
Yeah.
Every regular metric aside from like yards and touchdowns, and he was still, you know, good with that. But like his accuracy level is off the charts. Mm-hmm. Like he was really good, even for a guy in the air raid offense, a Big 12 quarterback who typically that's a con. Big 12 quarterbacks typically do not have success. It's pretty much
and that's
RG3 for a year, Vince Young for a year.
That's what
sort of Sam Bradford. Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of where I was at with it because. When people are like, oh, USC quarterbacks always are bad. I'm like, well, that's a much smaller
sample size
than all the quarterbacks from an entire conference where they all do really well in this conference because – and then when they get the pros, they're
also
really
Mark Sanchez
there.
And Matt Barkley. So, no, not – Matt Leinart. USC quarterbacks typically – I mean, you got Carson Palmer.
Matt Leinart cost himself like $20 million for staying in college one more year. Yeah. He would have been the number one
Matt
pick
Barkley
overall.
Too.
Yeah, that's right.
Matt Barkley, too.
Yep.
So
that's probably why Sam Darnold came out. So he's get that $20
sure,
million.
Sure, absolutely.
The thing with Sam Darnold is like he has a glaring hole in his game with those
fumbles.
It
yes.
is a glaring, big, big problem. And you are betting a high, high pick on being able to fix a possibly unfixable issue.
Yeah.
And he's a ginger fuck.
He looks like a member of my family. for really, if you look at my dad and my uncles as young men, he looks like he could be my cousin.
So who ends up being the best quarterback out of this class?
Baker Mayfield.
You think Baker?
Baker Mayfield.
Josh Rosen.
I think Josh Rosen's
going to
be
as well.
Up there as well.
But everybody was thinking with Josh Rosen, like, you know, people were saying, oh, he's got money and he's too smart.
I don't care.
And people
that's
were
so
like,
dumb.
But people were saying that's dumb. But as far as I'm concerned, this dude already has about 7 concussions on the books and God knows how many
fair.
More. If you're a guy that's not like a
so, yeah,
fuck everything else,
say
I
that.
Love football, nothing else matters.
Yeah.
a guy that is educated and is outward thinking past football and has money to fall back on, he's probably going to retire sooner than the guy that came from nothing, loves football more than anything. But it's like, I'll play till it fucking kills me.
Then say that and don't say it. It's like, you know why the reason
the NFL is going to murder you if you go, this guy's probably not going to go because he's afraid he's going to die.
True, fair, I guess. But like the whole reason that he dropped too is because of the Trump thing too. I guarantee you. And like 90% of every executive and owner is like fucking Trump supporters.
Right.
Because the dude that fucking tweeted out the N-word a bunch of fucking times, they traded up for that guy.
Also, I mean, like, let's be real here. Like, yeah, it's unacceptable, but you can't judge a fucking 14-year-old kid.
No,
he's nothing
I'm not
but
worried
a product of his environment.
16. And I've been 16 and still didn't say the N-word in public. Like,
you were taught better. You were still just a product of your environment. Maybe he was surrounded by shitty people, whatever. But like, let's not go back and tear this kid apart for his 16-year-old tweets.
I would rather tear him apart for his
terrible,
terrible inaccuracy.
Yeah, like for being a trash football player.
Yeah.
Because there's gonna be it doesn't matter how racist he is. What would be great though is if all like the receivers like just don't catch the ball. On purpose, just be like, fuck you.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, that's got to be like
among the lowest drops from his wide receivers of all the top quarterbacks this year. So it was not necessarily his wide receivers letting him down. And on top of that, Wyoming's defense was like ninth in efficiency, and it was him holding the team back. It was Josh Allen that kept them from succeeding against shitty teams,
because that was the thing that they kept floating out there. That Josh Allen was going to go number one, and that would have.
Oh yeah,
me.
Absolutely.
So mad,
me
I
too.
Lost all fucking faith in this organization.
If we, you know, Baker Mayfield, I just didn't. There's just that where he's coming from, the school he's coming from. That was the biggest issue for me. The more I'm just gonna be open minded about it, and see what he can do. And then I just think we should have got Chubb. I think getting Chubb.
I too.
I'm 100% with you on that.
Yeah. That
I would have taken Quentin Nelson. I don't give a fuck if you're gonna take a guy like a Corbett who's projected as a guard. I get that he played tackle and Nelson didn't play tackle, but an elite level blocker.
Yeah.
I would have taken Quentin Nelson over Denzel Ward
too.
As well.
I just think if you have Chubb and Garrett on the line, and then we have these other guys that are like trending to being really
Agba.
Good too, then we have a fucking incredible defensive line, and we can put corners back there that are
average.
Not as amazing.
They just get traded for that guy from
because the quarterback's
got
the ball in 4 or 5 seconds.
I still would have preferred Chubb. I should say that before I say the rest. This is the information that I got that kind of sold me on the Ward pick a little bit. I'm still not there. Number one, they do believe in Agba. Greg Williams is like, this kid's going to be a superstar.
I heard
and
that
I love
too.
That, and that is something that I've been saying for a while.
That's
I think he's
they
very
said
talented.
That on what's it called? I think. They were talking to Garrett, like that's what they got from on a Tomahawk. They were talking about.
Okay.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that part of things which I like. I like having the faith in Agba. He was a high second round pick. He had very very similar measurables. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit bigger than Bradley Chubb, with numbers very similar to Bradley Chubb, and ran like a 4.6 something 40. Him, Myles Garrett, and Bradley Chubb, almost all three of them had like identical measurables. Except for, I think, like, Myles Garrett's vertical leap was freakish. So you had that. And then the other thing is Greg Williams, like, that was his guy. He, like, they were talking to Dorsey, and, like, somebody was interviewing him, and he's just like, watch this. And he calls up Greg Williams. And he goes, who did you want? And he's like, anybody? Ward. I wanted Ward. Mm-hmm. Like, he
had his –
that's his guy.
His post-it.
He was,
Ward no matter what.
And a homeless person told him. So he wanted Ward because no college corner is really playing on an island. No, they're not playing much press man. They're all playing in quarters and different zones. And Denzel Ward was almost strictly like press man and expected to cover one guy and be by himself with no help. So yeah, like that, they were looking back at the film and saying Myles Garrett probably lost out on 3 or 4 sacks because he was just that half second late because the guy wasn't covered well enough. So. They're thinking that as opposed to it being the pass rush helps the DBs, they're thinking the DBs are going to
help
the pass rush. And we're
okay,
just going to maximize what we do have.
I'll take that.
So as long as Denzel Ward can be as advertised, okay. But I don't know if I believe it. A little 5'10", 185-pound kid, like
he's
wide receivers are fucking big.
Yeah, wide receivers are real big, and you got to give them you know, probably a year or two.
Scratch that.
To figure that out.
Wide receivers are really big on every team except the Browns. Yeah. They have one guy.
And we got one that's a rapist.
Yeah.
Rapist the pothead.
Yes.
Woohoo.
Now,
and credit card.
To be fair, he did get acquitted.
By the judge, who's
the
booster.
Judge is a booster, yes. So, yeah, not cool with that, but he is supposed to be a top-notch talent. I'm kind of excited about that. The credit card thing's funny to me.
I would be fine with that. It's the sexual assault that bothers me.
Yeah,
I don't care about the weed.
That certainly does, but, yeah. I mean, it's all fishy, but at the end of the day, due process, if you are not found guilty,
then
I kind of have to drop it. I'm gonna look at you.
Yeah,
man,
different.
Like OJ,
he's on a short leash. He's definitely got to keep.
But
his
I don't
nose
even
clean
know.
Here.
I don't know any of the evidence in the trial whatsoever.
Neither do
if
I.
It was released. If the evidence was released, I looked over. I'm down to make a decision off of that. But if he was acquitted of it, and
he
I
finished
don't know
the cum,
any of the details of it,
he finished on the cum cookie first, so he didn't have to eat it, and they called that sexual assault. That's what the trial's about.
I always heard toast. I cookie.
Y'all be know I'm loving this shit right here. L-I-M-P. Biscuit is right here.
We also got a rapper, too.
Who?
Who's the
He's
dude?
The producer, Chad Thomas.
Yeah,
from
Chad Thomas. From, yeah.
Oh, really?
He's another guy I think they really reached on.
Oh, yeah. We got to fucking play this. The U. Speaking of the U.
Oh, is this the
Greg
like the 90s
leg?
One?
Yeah.
Is it the Greg Olsen one?
Yeah. The Seventh Floor Crew.
What was I was going to say something about Callaway. Apparently the University of Florida school officials were telling any Southern Florida team that they can't draft him or else he's going to get in a bunch of trouble because of all the drug dealers he's friends with.
That's funny.
Apparently they did the same thing with Dalvin Cook.
Really?
Florida State did with Dalvin Cook.
What's your name? G-Reg. What you do? Get head. How you do? Drop my drawers and let her see my third leg. Chilling on the seventh floor. I gotta let these chickens know. Big Greg is in the house and I'm finna make these hoes choke. On my balls, on my dick, then I'm busting up quick. On her face, on her chest, stick my dick between the breasts. Come on, fellas, let's get weird. Stick your dick up in the ear while I'm laughing at these guys. A second nut all in their eyes.
It's just like the whole song. It's like 7 minutes about like gang rape.
And just nutting in.
Yeah. It's like, how did that, like. How did you think that would be okay? You know what I mean? I guess 2005 was a very different time.
Things didn't go viral like back then.
They were starting to. They keep trying to get him to retire and be in like the booth, Greg Olsen. Like it was between Greg Olsen and Jason Witten for Monday Night Football.
Why would you choose Jason Witten? I don't get that.
I don't know. He's the blandest I
think Joe Thomas would have been a great.
Thomas would have been spectacular, and I'm not sure why he.
Okay, this is going to sound weird.
Okay.
But Joe Thomas, when he speaks, reminds me of Joe Whalen.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
I've had enough conversations when Joe Whalen's not being overly silly, and I've listened to Joe Thomas talk.
I don't remember Joe before the
very
Danny.
Similar.
Like a cadence?
Cadence,
thing?
Yeah. And just almost like that kind of goofier
it's obviously
sense
a little
of humor
bit of
that like
for
he's
me.
Mostly laughing at.
Yeah.
I wanted to start out by saying thank you to everyone for attending today's press conference. It's always humbling when you get honored in the way that I'm being honored today.
Okay, I can
and
hear
when
you
see all these busy people taking time out of their day to come and watch what is, it's kind of like that pep rally.
Yeah. Pinky the clown ship from Joe Whalen and he's Joe Down.
Fucking Joe. I saw him the other day, like, he was at.
We saw him at the car show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. With Flint. Like, he was working with Flint, right?
Yeah. And he was, like, killing it in that job. Like, he was so, like, that was, like, so naturally, like.
He's charismatic, I guess, if he's not.
He's been doing that stuff for a long time. Yeah. But he used to, like, really, he'd take, like, 25-minute breaks and just go take, like.
Not a hard worker,
long,
that
waited,
one.
Like, on his phone dump. And it's like, dude, you're not supposed to be doing that.
You remember when, do you remember when he tried to GoFundMe his trip to Europe so he could volunteer.
That was hilarious.
I don't know about this.
Remember when he had the fundraiser to get a haircut?
Anymore.
Can I do a GoFundMe so I can get my fuck bad? No, Bill, just do your job.
A go fuck me?
Yeah, go fuck me. Fuck me in with a view of the lake.
Before we wrap this up, I do want to share the Mitt Romney fucking quote because it's been in my head for days now, and I can't. I can't. This is the for real. I thought this was a joke because all
this is a billionaire.
Yeah, yeah. All the headline or what, it was just a quote. So I thought it was a fake story, but it's from the Washington Examiner, like an extremely conservative newspaper. Yeah. It's trying to give a profile because he's running for senator in Utah for some reason, even though he's from Massachusetts or Michigan. I don't know. Whoever. Whatever.
Mormon. He's Mormon. That's why.
So anyways, here's the quote. Trying to be relatable. My favorite meat is my favorite meat is hot dog, by the way. This is my favorite meat.
Some billionaire.
Yeah, Romney said. My second favorite meat is hamburger. And everybody says, oh, don't you prefer steak? It's like, I know steaks are great, but I like hot dog best. And I like hamburger next best.
Great.
I like hot dog best.
I'm going to get great after the game.
Yeah. They're all out of hot dogs, so I'll just get hamburger. Hamburger's favorite anyway.
It's like,
hamburger's favorite. It's okay.
Like, he's a lizard person. That's not how
hot
fucking.
Dog is just more favorite.
Yeah. Hot dog. I like hot dog. It's like, I love lamp.
Like your favorite meat. But because also, hot dog is a, it's a way
it's
of,
a shape. It's not a meat. And they're like, all from cows.
You can have hot dogs made out of several different things. And so it's not like universal meat. Like that's not, when you say like, if you ask me what my favorite meat is, I don't say gyro. Gyro meat.
But
I
no.
I say lamb. Like, that's like.
No, hot dog. But, like, there's not even. The article doesn't, like, follow. Like, the English grammar is, like, it's not.
Yeah. Do you think he cuts up the hot dogs and then just dips them in ketchup with a fork?
I like hot dogs.
Microwaves them. He eats microwave hot dogs.
And I like hot dog.
The little pretzel rods and he sticks them in each hot dog.
Ooh, that
like
sounds
a,
good.
Yeah.
Whomst Among Us does not like a fine Frankfurter.
Whomst Among Us does not like hot dog.
You could either read it like Ralph Wiggum. There's two ways you could do it. Like, I like hot dog. Or you could, like every Mr. Burns. Like, I saw somebody tweet this, but like every Mr. Burns quote about food, like iced cream, ketchup, catsup.
Hot dog. Hamburger.
Steak. Oh, that's so funny.
That one's steak.
And then I found
it's too,
I
too
like,
tough.
I tweeted out that picture and then that quote from The Simpsons where like they're in the cabin or whatever. Like, oh, yes, sitting. The great leveler from the mightiest of pharaoh to the lowliest peasant. It's so insane that they're both like he and Trump are both like extremely out of touch billionaires. But like Romney really is the least likable one. Like, how is that possible?
I don't know. I like him for talking shit to Westbrook.
Oh, that was funny.
Like, the lamest, like, just one of the four. Like, oh, you got four or five.
I retweeted somebody.
Romney never seemed like that horrible of a candidate. I'd say that, like, that his election quotes was actually decently close, in my mind, even, like who I was going to vote for.
He just seems like a homeschooled billionaire. That's what he, like, he's
And very, like, he's like too innocent. Obama did not have super different policies. No. He was, like, a very more lenient conservative. He just was a robot of a human being.
It made me look up some old ones, like, that I completely forget. Hold on. There's some fucking great ones. Well, by the way, the Who Let the Dogs Out one was
That's amazing.
I didn't get to watch that. What was that?
Oh.
It's him just saying, like, he's trying to relate to some young black people, and he's just like.
This is in 2008, and that song came out a decade before.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh.
I mean, it is the greatest song ever made, so I do get it.
Who? That's like if you were to just be like, oh, whoop, there it is. right.
Willard is. Mitt Romney. Like, he's so weird. He is a fucking lizard person. Like,
he's a strange man.
I know Mulaney has the bit about jukebox trolling, but, like, Who Let the Dogs Out is a song that my friends and I have been trolling people with on the jukebox for so long now. And it is the most glorious thing to just keep playing Who Let the Dogs Out until the bar is like, fuck this, we're taking over. Because they have like a kill switch.
Yeah.
And usually it's about three times.
Yeah, that would do it for me.
He totally like steamed hands. These fine steamed hands.
right. Brian's got to go.
Yeah, all right. Okie doke. Boyfriends, we appreciate you. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week. And, yeah.
That's all.
See ya.